Hey, hey, hey. Chicken today.
That's Canes.
Right? I know, Canes. I love
making
it.
Making me hungry early this morning.
Welcome to ANA Real Talk Columbus. This is Dreya.
Yeah, yeah, this is Tony, y'all. What's going on?
Woo.
Woo. Nice day today, ain't it?
It is a beautiful day, actually. It's been a nice couple of days.
Yeah.
Hopefully it stays that way and we're done with the cold weather. We don't have any random snow coming back.
Wouldn't it be nice? You know, why is it always nice when I gotta go to work?
I don't know.
It's always nice, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then closer we get to the weekend,
that's when it starts raining.
Like, it probably rained tonight. It's probably gonna be cold and wet tonight. We're gonna be like, oh, come on, man. It's Saturday. Come on, Lord. Please, Jesus, give us some good weather on the weekend.
Today's gonna be a great sunny Saturday. We can be out and about.
Yes.
Whew, I'm nervous. We're going to the movies today.
Yeah, I was going to say that. You know, Spyro, Chris Rock and Sam Jackson.
Yeah.
What do you think about Chris Rock playing a serious role like this?
His face isn't serious. I don't know.
Come on now. Give Chris Rock a little bit of
credit.
We'll
see. Now. I hope this is not a crappy movie.
Knock it out the park. Samuel's already a good actor anyway. So, but you know, I never seen Chris in a serious role like this. But
oh no, he played Pookie.
Well, come on now. Come on now. You know, there's two movies that he's Pookie always known for. When I think about Chris Rock, three movies always stand out. I think about, obviously, New Jack City with Pookie.
Yeah.
CB4.
I never seen CB4.
It's hilarious. And then I Think I Love My Wife.
Okay, yeah.
Those three movies right there always stand out when I think about Chris Rock.
Okay.
Chris Rock is hilarious now. I mean, he has his moments.
He's all right. I definitely wouldn't go see him in stand-up. I don't think. His voice, it really irritates me. I don't know what it is. I cannot listen to him for long. So we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. So we're going to check it out this evening, and then we'll report back to you guys if you haven't already seen it. If you've seen it, I hope you enjoyed it. Unfortunately, we have to go to the theater. And I'm saying that not in a bad way, because I didn't got spoiled watching movies at home.
Mm-hmm.
So going to the theater is a plus. I want people to go out to the theaters, you know, make sure you feel safe and all that, to support the theaters. But I didn't got spoiled. I got used to just going to HBO Max or find it online and just watching it from the living room and just be like, hey, you know, this is what it is, enjoying it at home. But to get out, and then we can go to dinner afterwards, it'd be something nice to do.
It's different, because at first when you were like, well, do you want to go to the movies? I'm like, no, I don't want to go to no movies. But I was like, well, I guess I really need to re-enter into society. I've been out to restaurants a couple of times.
Yeah.
We could try the movie theaters. It'd be fine. So it is what it is. We're both fully vaccinated now.
Yeah.
So bring
it. Yes, we are. Well, no, hold on now, COVID. Now, COVID, stay where the hell were you at? Don't bring it to me. I ain't taking no chances. Speaking of vaccinations, if you haven't been vaccinated, it's your choice. I can't tell you what to do. I can make a suggestion, but end of the day, it's your choice. You know, it may come to a point where it may be mandated on some jobs. I wouldn't be surprised if that's happening as we speak. The second thing with kids, having the vaccine before they go back to school again, you know, making it a requirement. It's possible. I mean, so people, you know, be on the lookout. These things are probably going to happen. You have to make a decision, but you do what you feel comfortable with. All I say is just get educated. Quit reading everything that you read offline. Make sure what you're researching is factual and it's the truth and it's coming from a reliable source, and then make your decision.
Yeah. And I haven't, I had my second shot last week, and I really didn't have any bad side effects. The first one was easy peasy. My arm was a little sore that day, but after that, it was, you know, whatever. It felt like a regular shot. The second one.
You're scaring people now. Go ahead.
No, it was just like it's like a normal. So if you get the flu shot. Like,
well, yeah, I mean, yeah, your muscles, you're gonna have,
it's
some
like a little
of,
soreness, stiffness.
Yeah,
it was just for that day, and it was not a big deal. It didn't feel like it was anything strange going on.
Yeah,
The second shot again, I felt fine the next day. Yeah. My back was hurting, bad on that Sunday, so day two after the shot, my back was hurting bad. I've been having some back pains, more so like muscle pain in my back, felt like something was pulled or strained.
Yeah,
for the past few weeks, but this time it had radiated across my whole back and my neck. So I was wondering if that could have possibly have been a side effect from the shot. I don't know. Very well could have been that exacerbated the pain. But I was fine on Monday. So it lasted for 24 hours. Uh-huh. I just rest, laid down, took some medicine.
All right.
And you were good. And called it what it is, and I was good. Right. So mm-hmm. it was nothing. You may experience some side effects. It's nothing serious. I didn't experience anything serious. My mom. And I had the Pfizer shot.
Yeah, you had the Pfizer shot, and I had the Moderna. Lord, all right, but anyway, yeah. So there are some reports of people that has gotten the vaccine have had some type of, you know, maybe a 24-hour sickness, perhaps backaches, a couple rashes. It just depends on the person. That happens to everybody, but that's nothing major. It'll work its way out of your system. I'm saying that because there's a side effect to everything. Some type of side effect to everything. It just affects people differently, depending on what. You know, your body, your immune system, and how you respond to it. So there's a lot of science behind side effects when it comes to people taking shots. But all I said at the end of the day, I just want you to be informed. I want you to make the right decision, what you feel is best for you. If you don't want to get vaccinated, that's your choice.
Absolutely.
If you do and you want to be better safe than sorry, that's your choice as well. But all I'm saying is just make sure you have all the information, accurate information in front of you before you make a sound decision if you decide to go that way. One other thing before we get in the show, I learned something new this week. And the people I've asked, they didn't even know it either. So I taught them something. It's always good to learn something, people. Every day you should learn something. That's what life is about. Hallelujah. Right? So for those who don't know, let's talk about blue lights. So I was coming home this week. Tell you my little story, right? Driving through my neighborhood, it's late because I work in the evenings. I get off a little late, and I see these blue lights on people's houses. And when I mean blue lights, you know how you have the front porch light, usually white. Mm-hmm. You have the side door light, which is usually white, right? Mm-hmm. They were blue. And I said, man, what is up with all these blue lights? I mean, I kept seeing more and more every day when I would get off work on like a couple of streets, you know, because I drive through a couple of neighborhoods before I get to my house. And I didn't think nothing of it until, like, I think, like, what, a day or so ago, I think I talked to you about it.
Yeah.
So I researched, and I said, well, blue lights, why do people have these blue lights on in their house? Why? What's the purpose of it? This is not a coincidence. It's the reason why they're doing this. So the first thing I will say, my natural mind is to think negative. I'm going to be honest with you, people. I was thinking, okay, it's a cult in my neighborhood. What's going on? They're about to start abducting people. Who knows what the heck they're about to start doing? Because, I mean, I'm going to go there with you. I'm going to keep it honest with you. I went to the negative route first. That's where my mind went. That's why you got to do your research. So come to find out, it's actually a good thing. If you are in distress, and it doesn't matter what the cause is, you could be running from danger. It could be an issue with the cops, whatever. It doesn't really matter. But if you are in distress and you need some type of help, those are safe places. So you can go to those properties that have the blue lights and they will assist you. So it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Now, I know when I say that, the first thing y'all going to say is what Dre was thinking. I don't know. They can still be a setup. They got a blue light on. I can be in trouble and go to that house and they can abduct me and do something to me.
Yeah.
Don't think like that, people, you know, but to me, it's a good thing. So let's just keep it like that. Let's not turn a bad thing. Let's not turn a good thing to a bad thing. This is a good thing that the community is doing. I'm sure, like, those people out there who may have seen, you know, you may have some blue lights in your neighborhood. Maybe you haven't paid attention to it, but that's what that means when you see that. So those are safe havens. So if you're ever in distress and danger, feel free to go to those homes and get some assistance or some type of help. So that's a great thing.
See, this is why ID Channel is bad. It's good in some ways and bad because it be making my mind think all crazy stuff. Everybody's a suspect. All them shows on ID, Fear Thy Neighbor, Fear Thy Roommate, everything.
I know, it's a lot of them, man.
It all just put all these crazy thoughts in you. I don't trust nobody.
You know what? I'm going to get some blue bulbs tonight.
No, we're not.
And put them on
our property. No, we are not.
Because I want people to feel safe. You know, if you're out there and you're in distress and you don't feel safe and you come by our neighborhood,
don't come
you come
knock
by
on
my
our
house
door.
And you see a blue light, I'll be more than happy to help you.
No, you're not coming in. No. I'm not even going to lie.
Can
like,
I help
nope.
you from the door? What you need? Can I call somebody?
If we don't
you?
Have a prearranged appointment, don't come knocking on our door.
See, that's her. I'm not like that, people. Okay. I help anybody. Mm-hmm. I'm not like that. See, that's where we're different at. But you know what? It is what it is.
This is a crazy world. I can't do it. Nah. They be holding us, Mama B, the dog, all hostage. Like, nope. I can't do it. Mm-mm.
All right. What we got going on tonight? Today? This morning? Whatever. Whatever time you're going to be listening to this.
So, let's talk about staying in your lane.
Don't be trying to steal my slogan there.
Stay in your lane.
Play your position.
Yes, play your position.
Stay in your lane, people. Go with it.
But more so talking about the roles of step-parents and then even co-parenting, because those situations get a little tricky sometimes.
Yeah.
Knowing your position, knowing your lane, mm-hmm. and making sure that you're not overstepping boundaries is going to be really important,
mm-hmm.
because we should all be working towards the same goal.
Mm-hmm.
And we really do need to all get along for the sake of the kids. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it can be tricky to navigate sometimes.
Oh yeah.
So as you all know, I am I'm a step parent. I know a lot of people don't use the word step parent or everything like that. You call me what you want, bonus mom. I don't get offended if somebody
bonus mom. I never heard that one before.
You never heard of that? Yeah.
No.
Bonus parent, bonus mom.
Okay.
I really don't get offended. No. I never really get offended with the term step mom.
Mm-hmm.
I am cautious about calling the kids my step kids, because that can sound kind of like
mm-hmm.
a form of alienation.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I want to be respectful, and I don't want to call them my kids because they're not biologically mine. So what I've done is I've allowed the kids to kind of like set the tone for how they want to like address me. And I told you about a situation one time. Our daughter was we were in a mall. And we were walking through the mall. I think we were on our way out the mall, and one of the little middle kiosks, they were trying to stop us for to do something, selling flat irons or something like that, whatever. And it was like, well, is this your sister or something? Talking to her, and she was like, no, this is my mom. And that just made me feel great. But it kind of set the tone, like, okay, she's okay with me,
sure.
like, referring to, if somebody would say, well, who is this? You know, this is my daughter.
Sure.
So it kind of set that tone so I know, like, what boundaries to cross and what not. Because, A, I never want her biological mom to feel like I'm trying to take her place, because I'm not.
Right.
I'm just an extra resource. I love her as if she was my own.
Right.
I love all the kids as if they were my own.
Right.
There's nothing I wouldn't do for them.
Right.
But I never want anybody to feel like, hey, I'm forcing her to call me her mom, mm-hmm. or, you know, her mom feeling as if that I want to replace her.
Right.
So I'm always very cautious and leery, and I let them kind of steer the lane.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with our son. I let him steer how that's going to be.
Sure.
But he looks at me as a mother figure as well.
Absolutely.
He'll send me texts. He sent me the sweetest text for Mother's Day.
It almost broke me down.
I was like, oh, he's just like, he's the sweetest kid.
He's a very loving kid. Yeah, very loving.
Just saying that, you know, he loves me. He appreciates me.
Yeah,
and
that's awesome.
Thankful that, you know, he has me in his life as a mom and things of that nature. And it was
that's
just
awesome.
Like, it was the best text. And for him to be only 15, he'll be 16 in a few weeks. But still, kids at that age, they don't usually do stuff like that.
Especially boys.
Right. So, I mean, it's a great feeling. But
yeah, really
I digress a little bit. But
yeah.
So it's important just to kind of like stay in your lane a little bit for that.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. And you said a lot of key things that I think a lot of listeners need to catch when you said you allow the children to dictate how it goes.
Yeah.
And I think that's very important. I think I'm not a step parent, but just, you know, reviewing what you're saying. I think as a step parent, you should allow the child to steer how the relationship goes.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like you said, you're not trying to replace anybody.
Right.
So, and that allow them to love you.
Right.
Because there is no conditioning. There is no programming.
Mm-hmm.
There is no forced love there.
Right.
You just, everything flows naturally. So I think when you allow stuff to flow naturally, you have better results. And that's what you did. Also, my part, being the parent, the biological father, I have to do a part as well,
mm-hmm.
you know. So my thing is, I'm a very stern parent when it comes to like respect
mm-hmm.
your elders, you know. Like you said, stay in your lane, play your position as
mm-hmm.
a child. You're not an adult. Don't even entertain adult conversations. You know, leave
mm-hmm.
the room, whatever. The way I was raised, so I instill a lot of those values in my kids when they were young.
Yeah,
and I think this is where a lot of people get it wrong. You have to instill the character when they're young. You have to instill like respect and honor and, you know, when somebody tell you to do something, you do it. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Miss this, miss that. My children
mm-hmm.
will never call you by your first name. They're
right.
always going to put that miss in front of it.
Yeah.
Even when they become 30, 40, 50, 60, I'm not going to have it. It's a respect thing.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of parents, this modern day parents, they didn't got away from that.
And they just say, okay, well, let them be who they are. You can let them be who they are, but the kids didn't have boundaries. They didn't know that, okay, there's a level of respect when it comes to dealing with adults.
Yeah.
And then you can alleviate a lot of problems when you bring in a step-parent, because there are a lot of homes that have stepdads, stepmoms, mm-hmm. and all that. Both people have to do their part, but the parent, the biological, have to do their part extra,
mm-hmm.
because they're going to obviously listen to them. They should. More right. so than the new person that's coming to step-parent. Right. And I think once that's there, because I had that conversation with them.
Yeah,
you know, I had the conversation with them before they mentioned. I said, listen, I have a young, we weren't married then. And I said, I have a young lady in my life. She's serious. I love her. And I said, she's a great person. You respect her as such. I only mm-hmm. had to say it one time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only because they respect me. And they love right. me. And they know I get in their butt.
Yeah.
If they don't do what they got to do. You know what I'm saying? So I'm one of them type of parents. And you've never had no problem. They've never, by the grace of God, never will ever disrespect you. Never have disrespect you. And that's just what that is. They're not perfect, but they're going right. to know how to act around you.
Right.
You know, so, and I think both parties have to do their part. I'm going to keep reiterating that part. This is what I want people to get. Both parties. You can't just be the biological parent to say, okay, they'll be all right. No, they're not going to be all right. You need to have that conversation with your children mm-hmm. and say, listen, he or she is not trying to replace the biological. They're just like a helpmeet. You will respect them as such.
Yeah.
But you know, I think a lot of issues is the biological don't have that in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they wasn't raised like that. And they just trying to just say, okay, well, I want to be, or if they were raised stern, I want to be the easy parent. But you can't, you just got to find that balance.
Yeah.
You know, so that's how I feel about it.
I agree. And I think what another problem is too, one of the things I can appreciate is that, you know, we are a team, we're a unit.
Yeah.
And you've never had that situation to where you created that distinction that, you know, you're the parent. You know, I can't discipline the kids. I can't, you know, whatever, right. whatever.
Yeah.
You've never set that tone and be like, oh, you're not going to talk to my kids like that.
No, I'm not going
to
do
but
that.
But on the flip side, so I've never talked reckless to the kids at all. I've always been respectful for the kids. And again, this is another part of staying in my lane. Like, although you wouldn't have a problem with me disciplining the kids.
Right.
I'm still not going to overstep my bounds because I wouldn't want their mom to feel a certain way.
Sure.
Hey, the kids never done anything to where they needed to be, have a spanking anyways. Our daughter is older now.
Yeah, they're pretty good. They're pretty good kids.
But they've never done anything that required a spanking.
Right.
Our son, you know, he can be the regular trifling boy. You know, not cleaning up, leaving food in the
Lazy.
Right, being lazy, things of that, but he's never been disrespectful. So we may have had to take in devices and things of that nature.
Right. Yeah.
But it was never like, oh, well, you can't discipline my son any type of way or another. He already knows, like, if I say to do something, he's going to do it.
No questions asked. Yeah, he's going
to
do it.
And if he's not holding up to our standards, he already knows, like, we're going to start taking those devices away. Yeah, we're taking the game system, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. So we rarely have those type of problems.
Right.
But I've seen and heard, you know, of some parents, who you have the step parents in the home, and then you may have the biological parents say, well, oh, you can't discipline my child. You can't do this and that. And that right there, I think that steers towards the disrespect because the kids already know, like, you're not my parent.
They
you
can
can't
play
tell
one
me what to
other.
Do.
Yeah.
And blah, blah, blah. And then you pitting one another against each other.
Right.
And that's just going to cause all types of problems inside of the house between you two as a unit and between the distance between the kids.
And you know, another thing too, they'll start like we mentioned, they'll play you against each other. So they'll say, well, I'll ask, you know, my dad, the biological, I ask him this, and they'll say yes, but if I ask the step parent, they're gonna say no. So what they'll do, they always ask the biological. Yep. Whoever's gonna give them what they want.
Right.
They'll play
on that.
That's
who they're gonna go to.
Kids are, you know, very manipulative, so as well as adults, human nature. Mm-hmm. It's in us to be that way. So goes back to that, the way they're being raised, you know, setting those boundaries, respect and all that. But yeah, they'll play. You got to be careful with it. Being a step parent, I've never been a step parent. I can only imagine like the challenges. You know, I see, you know, thank God our transition has been easy. It took a lot of work. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and say it's been perfect every time, but we haven't had no major issues either.
Right.
So thank God for that. But I think it's just, it got to be challenging. I mean, it really has to be a challenge thing because it's so common now. Very few household has the biological mother and father in the house. It's more, you know, common to have the step now.
Yeah. I think the most time is like finding your place as a step parent is difficult. I mean, there's still some times where I'm kind of like unsure of my placement. But in the very beginning stage, it's like, okay, how do I respond? How do I act? And it's just like, waiting to see, kind of see how the dynamics and the relationship that flows between you and the kids and things of that nature. Yeah. And that kind of steers.
Being observant. Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of steers how your interactions will go. And I think, and to me, it's funny when, as I say this, it's almost like from a leadership standpoint, right? Mm-hmm. When you get a new team, an already established team, mm-hmm. you don't want to just come in there laying down the law.
You need to observe first.
Right. Yeah, you need to sit. You need to learn the people, mm-hmm. learn their behaviors, mm-hmm. Learn personalities, create a rapport with them. Mm-hmm. So that way, when something happens to where you do need to lay down the law, they're more receptive of it. And that's kind of how I had to go into it as a step-parent. Like, I'm learning the dynamics. I'm learning the dynamics between you and the kids. I'm learning the kids individually, their personalities, how they respond to certain things. And then that dictates how I will respond.
Right.
So it's a balancing act.
And you have to do, you know, as a step-parent, you have to interact. You can't wait for the child to interact with you.
Yeah.
You know, you're the adult. You're the older adult.
Yeah.
You know, so you need to be, and I'm not talking about you specifically, I'm talking about just people in general, because I know you do this, but you have to reach out to them. If they in the house with you, that's fine. You still need to have that time where it's just y'all, the mm-hmm. step-parent and the kids, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Don't need to be a family every time y'all do something.
Yeah, that's how you build a relationship.
Right, you need to make sure you do that. If they're not in the house and they're long distance or whatever, you need to reach out to them, not mm-hmm. just on birthdays and anniversaries and celebrations. No, you got to do more than that. So I think you definitely have to do your part as a step and interject yourself into them, getting to know them and find out what their likes and dislikes, whether they're in the house with you or not. You have to build that rapport with them because all of it's going to come out in the end.
Yeah.
Because you can't just reach out to children like 3 times a year and expect them to still respect you and
love
you and remember you and act. I mean, they're just not going to do that. You know, so you got to, it's a consistent thing.
Yeah. And I know that's something, especially with our daughter, because she's older now.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, she's older. She's doing her own thing. And I need to get better with reaching out to her more. Because when she lived with us for a little bit, that was my role, dog. We used to, like, hang out all the time.
Yeah, did a lot together.
Go to the store and stuff, like, running errands. Things like she was, we was always just hanging out and doing things like that. Just like little, we never kicked it. I don't even kick it like that no more anyways, but it's not like we went out and hung up to a bar or anything like that. But you know, just like everyday things like, oh, I'm going here. You want to come with me? We're doing some shopping. We're doing XYZ. And so she was my roadie. And that's where we really created our bond, because that was the most interaction that we've had. And then we had some alone time with one another, and we would just be sitting at the house and chatting about different things and all this stuff. I showed her, shared her some information about my past and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So we were able to get a bond like that. But mm-hmm. it is definitely more difficult as they get older, because, you know, they're adults now.
Yeah, they have a lot more going on.
Right. So I definitely.
They're not studying us, because she's not studying me either. So, I mean, right. You know, it's just one of those things. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
For sure.
So one of the things, and then we'll talk about co-parenting. When it comes to, like, the step-parent role, I've learned, like, when it comes to you and your ex, I don't get involved in those conversations. Now, when I say I don't get involved, like, her and I, we have no need to have, like, any interactions, because if there's a situation that's going on between the kids, I believe that it's between you and her. Mm-hmm. And you two need to come to a resolution. Now, you and I may sideline talk. We have our own discussion as, you know, a married couple of, you know, what we want to do and blah, blah, blah. But I leave that interaction and stuff to you two, because, I mean, those are your kids. And that's, again, I want to make sure that I'm respectful of the boundaries. I'm not going to interject myself into a conversation. Even if you all are not seeing eye to eye on something, I'm not going to interject myself to the conversation, because that's between you two. You and I might talk about it offline or whatever the case may be. Mm. But I don't know. I feel like that's just a boundary that I don't want to cross.
And I think that's important as a step parent. You know, I'm in agreement with you. I think a lot of step parents should do that. I think they should, again, show title, stay in your lane, right? Stay in your lane, knowing when to interject and when not to interject.
Mm-hmm.
And having that offline conversation after the fact is always important. And then a lot of times, if you can have it beforehand, depending mm-hmm. on what the topic is, that's even better.
Yeah.
So the more all of us are in agreement, the better for the kids.
Because
it's not about us, you know, it's about kids. When you have kids, it's all about them. It ain't about you no more. You know, so I think we have to look at it, all three of us have to look at it, what's mm-hmm. better for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when you're married, you're one.
Right.
You know, it's not, I make every, all the, it doesn't work like that.
Right.
Not if you want to be in a successful marriage.
Right.
You know? So, you know, it's always that oneness, and you have to make sure that everybody's on the same page, particularly mm-hmm. you and your spouse before anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes everything easier because the kids can't deal with confusion.
No.
You know, if we're all at odds and all of us disagreeing, they're not going to like that. You know, mm-hmm. it's not a good thing for it.
Because then it puts them in a weird spot to where they feel, yeah. probably feel
they
like they
pick
have to
sides
choose.
And stuff yeah. and all that. You never want to have a child in a situation like that. So, yeah. The better off it is, you know, so learn from our experiences, what you're saying, because like I said, you're the step parent in a situation and, you know, my hat's off to you. You know, I love you to death. You know, there are a lot of times, you know, and you'll know when you have when you marry the right person and, you know, you feel good about the person you married that's around your kids when they do things like the stuff you've done. You know, there have been cases where you mentioned the kids before I did.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't that I wasn't thinking about them, but you just, you know, you said, well, no, what about the kids? You know, so you kind of reiterate to me, like, look, don't forget about the kids or, yeah. you know, oh, it slipped your mind. Because they're not here with us in the house. So
right.
It's hard. It's easier for me to, I'm not going to say forget about the kids. You know what I mean? Not
yeah.
include the kids because they're not right here in the house with me.
Right.
I think about, okay, oh, I forgot. That's going to affect the kid. But you, on the other hand, you're there like they're here.
Yeah.
I mean, every decision we make as far as like, we're going to do this for this summer, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. What about if this happened? You know, so you're there to help me as a helpmeet,
yeah.
praise be to God, to help me be a better parent.
Yeah.
And that's important. So it's just important. It's a blessing to have somebody that's love kids. Let's start with that.
yeah.
Don't marry nobody who don't love no kids now. Even if y'all yeah. ain't got no kids, you need to marry somebody that love kids and going to do
yeah.
right by
and
kids.
And they need to treat your kids as if those are their own.
Start with that. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's nothing I wouldn't do yeah. for the kids. Like anything mm-hmm. happened, like what? They did what? What happened? Like I tell our son
You talk
sometimes.
To our kids more than I do. And I, you know, I told you that. I mean, they'll reach out to me, but I mean, you talk to them just as much as I do. Probably
yeah.
more. I mean, a lot of it's scheduling and all that.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's still, you're just involved just like I am, you know?
Yeah, because
so
I'm concerned
more.
About them. I'm going to make sure they're yeah. good. Like anything that we need, like I'm want to make sure that you are straight.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like when, you know, our son went through the situation when, you know, everything was oh, going
man.
On
last
with
year.
All the
yeah. He had to get
the killers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, are you good? I was like, if we need to get counseling, you know, we need to do that because
yeah.
I want to make sure you're good and straight because I knew he just wasn't himself.
And that's so important. You know, I'll throw in a quick, you know, thing about counseling real quick, but, you know, and that's so important that, you know, we, as black people, I'm gonna call it like I see it. A lot of
yeah.
us feel like we don't need counseling or we don't believe in counseling or it's not gonna help us. It is gonna help us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why it's there's nothing wrong with talking to somebody. There's nothing wrong with having your children talk to somebody, you know, because that was a blessing. That was the first time that he's ever had any type of counseling and he came out of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he revealed some stuff to us that we had no clue
yeah.
of, you know, but we wouldn't have got that no other way. So he had to have the counseling.
Yeah.
You see how he is now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Now he know how to process these things that come
yep.
at him. So us as black folk, let's get it together now. Let's get out of this stereotype of thinking counseling is not for us or it's not going to help us. It will help us. If you
yeah.
need it, your child need it, y'all need family counseling, I believe in it.
Yeah.
It's a great thing.
I'm so pro counseling.
Yeah. It's a great thing. It doesn't mean you're stupid, you're crazy,
yeah.
you can't think straight. Get that stuff out of your mind. If you feeling weird,
mm-hmm.
you having crazy thoughts in your mind, you know, if your children acting out, you don't know what to do, talk to somebody.
Yeah.
That's it.
Even if you guys, sometimes just like the venting section yeah. of it, it's just like, whew, I feel better. Like when I'm going through my stressful periods and I feel like so overwhelmed and I'm just like, oh my gosh, if one more thing happened, I'm about to lose it and I'm about to snap on everybody in this damn house.
And you can always do my backup method. Go get
What's
you
your backup?
Beer.
No.
I mean, go get you a glass of wine. I mean, ain't nothing
no.
wrong with drinking a glass of wine and having some beer.
You know what? Sometimes that feels good for that moment, but I ain't trying to be fooling around. Sometimes I feel like I just need to take the whole bottle and just don't even give me a cup. Let me just sip.
Let me just go and grab this bottle and I'm going to chill out with this here. So,
yeah.
But great topic. Great topic. I can say it 1,000 times. We always overlook the step parent. I don't like using that word either. Even though I'm not one, you know, you are, but I just never say step, you know, it's just a word I just don't agree with. I just say, you know, that's your mother, that's your father. You have two fathers, you have two
mm-hmm.
mothers. You know, I like to use those.
More people
saying,
who love you.
Right. Instead of saying step. And then your birthdays, you get a lot more when you got more people involved, right? As a child, you're like, oh, I got my dad, I got my stepmama, I got my real mom. I mean, that's more stuff for
mm-hmm.
you. All right now.
Yeah. So I feel
yeah.
I know we didn't get a chance to talk about co-parenting. I feel like that needs to be its whole separate stay in your lane.
Well, I mean,
pay too.
We hit the point. You know, there's really it's whatever it is. You know, you just have to at the end of the day when the co-parent part, you just have to make sure all y'all on the same page, all of y'all are getting along, and y'all doing what's best for the kids. I mean, I think simply put, that would be my advice on it. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something else you want to add on that before we get to the word of the
day? No, if I add anything else to the co-parenting, it would be a whole separate show. Challenging. Co-parenting is challenging, though.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, you're more so on the co-parenting side, but maybe we'll talk about that, the challenges of co-parenting, and how can you have a successful co-parenting relationship?
I'll say, now I got to throw this in. We got a little bit of time. I do got to throw this in. Speaking of the co-parenting. Yeah. Me and my ex, we have a decent, it's not bad. We have our moments. I put it like this. The less I deal with her, the better relationship is. No, I'm just joking with her. No, real talk. She's a great person, great mother. You know, I mean, she really has raised my kids like phenomenally well. So I got to give a shout out to her on that. But, you know, we have an understanding. I think the older we've gotten, the closer we've gotten as far as parenting and understanding how things work. It's just really a maturity thing on both sides, my side and her side. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just important to make sure it still falls back to both of you guys have to be on the same page and y'all have to do what's best for the children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, word of the day, what you got?
Word of the day.
Mix it. No, you got to do better than that now.
I thought that was pretty good.
Put a little soundboard up here.
No. All right. So,
you know, matter of fact, I'll just beatbox next week. And so when you do word of the day, I'll go ahead and beatbox.
You're going to be spitting all over the microphones and everything.
I'm far away from you. It ain't going to get on you. It'll get on the screen a little bit, but that's it. Go with it. What you got for us?
All right. So the word of the day, or I guess more so phrase of the day, someday.
Really?
Someday. Yes. Someday. So this is when someone goes to the gym and spends 90% of the time with their phones scrolling through social media.
Wow. They're wasting their money. Ain't they?
Yeah.
Paying for a membership.
Looking on Facebook. Maybe they're walking on the treadmill.
Well, that's different. You're still doing a couple of things. But you said it's not humanly possible to multitask.
It's not. You can't. Not effectively. No.
Okay, so you can do it, but you're not being effective at it.
Right.
So you can multitask now.
No, you're not. No,
hold on. Listen, hold on. Think about what you just said. Think about what you just said. Listen, you said you can't effectively multitask at the same time.
So
effectively and multitasking, those are two different words.
So can you do more than one thing at once?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, that's multitasking.
No, however, true multitasking is giving 100% of yourself to a task.
Just like a black person.
You can't do
that. Just like a black person to throw their little word in there. That's right. I said it. I'm black. So I can say that. Just like us as black people to throw our little word in there. You had to put that word
in there. I mean, that's supposed to say that I can't. Can I physically do two things at once? Yes, absolutely. Am I doing it well? No.
But that's still a difference.
No.
You're still multitasking.
No, you can't.
You're doing
one. You cannot. Well, let me change the word. You cannot effectively multitask.
Okay, that sounds a bit better. But you can multitask. So keep that in mind.
Oh, here you go.
Being effective at it and doing it is two different things.
Stay in your lane.
You bypassing the lane. That's a good word. All right, we're going to wrap it up. Until next time.
If you have a question or situation you would like advice on, you can contact us at aarealtalkcolumbus@gmail.com, or you can check us out on our website at www.aarealtalkcolumbus.com. Also, be sure to look for us on Instagram or Facebook using the handle aarealtalkcolumbus. Don't forget to share with your friends. Thank you for listening to A&A Real Talk Columbus, where our goal is to bring people closer together through conversation.